Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Monday. Monday morning. That means my dad will call in and tell a joke in a little bit. Because it's a jokey time. Okay, here's the deal. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can text your answers. You can call us right now, 312-981-7200. We're talking about night hawking. Night hawking is when you go back to see a movie, go back and watch a movie that you really liked when you were younger, you thought was great, and in fact, it's a piece of crap. And I call it night hawking because I was 16 and I was in high school when Nighthawks came out, which is this movie, thriller movie with Billy Dee Williams, Sylvester Stallone, and Rutger Hauer. And when I saw it when I was in high school and I was 16, I thought it was the greatest movie ever made. This is the greatest film of all time. And subsequently, years have gone by, years and years, and I watched it maybe 20 years after that and realized this movie, except for Rutger Hauer, who's still great in it. Rutger Hauer is great. Rest of the movie, awful. And so I call it night hawking. And Now, Esmeralda, have you ever seen Nighthawks?
I have not.
No? And is anybody? Dan, have you seen Nighthawks?
No, I haven't.
No? Vic, you ever seen Nighthawks?
No.
Stallone, he's all bearded.
No, I haven't.
And he's a cop, and they're going
after... I just Googled it to see if I had.
It's a terrible movie. But when I was a kid, I was 16 when it came out, and I was like, oh, this is the coolest movie ever. Now, I will say this. We lost, a few weeks ago, we lost Keith Emerson of Emerson, Lake & Palmer. He did the score for Nighthawks, and it's a great score. The score is awesome. So, great score. Rutger Hauer, great. Rest of the movie, terrible. So, 312-981-7200. If you remembered liking a movie when you were younger, you go back and watch it, and you're like, oh, man, that wasn't good. Let's see. Vic, you got any that that pop into your head?
Yeah, one popped into my head, and it's a story that my mother told me. When I was 9, I went to see Die Laughing with her in the theater. That's a Robbie Benson movie. And I don't...
Robbie Benson? Oh, my God. I wonder if Mary's listening.
Why?
Oh, Mary's obsessed with Robbie
Benson.
Really? Oh, Mary Vandeveld? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no. Anytime we mention Robbie Benson, she just goes nuts.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, my mom tells me that I, like the title, just died laughing through the whole thing to the point where she was just embarrassed because I was being so loud. And I... You know, after that story, wanted to see it, of course, and I just didn't get it.
No.
No, as an adult,
What happens when you're 9, though? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I saw a lot of movies when I was a kid. I go back and went, what? Like, I can particularly remember a movie called Laser Blast. This was a movie from the 70s. I don't know, maybe 76? 77, maybe? We'd have to look it up. It's one word, Laser Blast. Roddy McDowell was in it. So, first of all, right there, it gets a plus for me because I loved Roddy McDowell. But it was about this kid, these aliens, these little weird-looking, goofy-looking stop-motion aliens land on Earth, and they leave behind this gun, like a laser gun, giant laser gun. And this kid, you know, he's the outcast in school. He's like a high school kid. He finds this gun, and it attaches itself to his arm, and he can, like, shoot stuff with lasers, and then he slowly turns into a monster. And then the aliens come back, and I remember when I saw the movie, the first Laser Blast, I thought it was like the coolest. It's like, oh, Laser Blast rules. And I remember the stop motion aliens being really cool. And then I see Laser Blast years later, and it's one of the worst movies ever.
You just made me remember another one.
Okay.
The Last Starfighter. I love that movie.
That one I love.
I don't. Do you still?
Oh yeah.
I can't. I tried. I'm 10 minutes into it, I just can't.
We have like a list here of some people who commented on this. Pat said The Last Starfighter.
Wow. Yeah.
I like that movie. I still like that movie.
I loved it. I watched it 100 times.
Yeah. Okay. Esmeralda, you got any movies that you used to love that, and now you don't?
Well, there's one I can think of, and I just remember being so into it. It was, Hackers.
Oh, yeah, that's Angelina Jolie, one
but
of her
that
first
movie
movies.
Is still, like, I watch it, I'm like, oh, gosh.
No, it's not very good.
It's not good, but I still like watching it.
Yeah. No, I understand that, because there are a lot of movies that are terrible that I'll watch.
But I remember thinking when I was younger, this is the coolest ever.
Yeah. No, that's a big one. That's a big, Hackers is a big one. Laser Blast, by the way, came out in 1978, so I was 13 when I saw it. So, but yeah, that movie was ridiculous. All right, Dan, what about you? Anything for you?
I don't know if I would say I like the movie, but I think it was the combination of, like, it was a little, it was adultish, but still, like, palatable for, like, 13-year-old me. And it featured the Humpty Dance. Nothing but trouble.
Oh, my God, Dan.
Which is, I want to vomit when I think about that film now.
Oh, it's so bad.
Like, Chevy Chase and Demi Moore get arrested in this small little town that, and Dan Aykroyd, I get chills thinking about Dan Aykroyd's movie. He plays this old judge in there, and it's just, ugh.
John, that movie's so gross.
John Candy's in that movie, too.
It's so
Taylor
bad.
Negron. I mean, there's a...
There's a lot of good people.
Aykroyd directed it and co-wrote it.
Yeah, so, but, you know, 13-year-old me being like, ooh, I shouldn't be watching this.
Yeah.
Then, like I said.
And the Humpty Humps in it, man. Yeah, so.
So I'm like, this movie's cool.
Oh, yeah.
God, no, it's not.
Everybody in it is cool. You know what I mean? Because Digital Underground rules. But, oh, is that a terrible movie? What an awful movie that was. Esmeralda, you saw that one?
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
No. It's a gross movie.
Yeah, and it's just not funny. Terrible. All right, hang on. And the reason why we brought this up is because our old friend Mark Caro is going to be hosting these events Tuesday nights at the Music Box called Is It Still Funny? And they're going to show a comedy and ask the question. You'll screen it and then ask the question, is it still funny? And I'll tell you what some of those are. And you can call in with your picks for movies that you used to love, but now you realize are terrible. And maybe movies that were once funny, but you don't think are funny anymore. 312-981-7200. Hi. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Monday morning. Good morning. And it's Monday. That means it's going to be a jokey time. My dad will call in and tell a joke. But right now, if you want to join us, we have a couple of lines open. If you want to call us or text us, it's 312-981-7200. We're talking about movies that you used to like when you were younger. You caught up with them years later and you realize that they're terrible. I call it nighthawking a movie because the movie Nighthawks, when I was 16 years old, I thought was the greatest movie ever made. It's Sylvester Stallone, Rutger Hauer, Billy Dee Williams movie. And in fact, it sucks. It's a terrible movie. But when I was 16, I saw it in the theater like 800 times. So 312-981-7200. We've got some texts coming in at 312-981-7200. And then we've got some other ones from IGN.com, some responses that people have about movies that they once really liked but realize are not good. And let's go to the phones here at 312-981-7200. Here is Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, in high school, we're all big SNL fans. And we had to go see Meatballs and thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
To look back upon it now, no.
No, it's not, Steve. That's you know what? That's a great choice because, I don't know, I was probably 14 when that movie came out. And I
was 15.
If you're a regular listener to the show, you know that I watch SNL to this day every week. And I am a huge fan of Saturday Night Live and I love Bill Murray. And I remember going to see Meatballs and loving it. And no, I've watched it on cable here and there. There are moments in it that I still think are funny. And there are, you know, there's still a certain like nostalgic joy that I have associated with the movie, but it's not good.
No. And you're right about Russell Crowe dropping the ball last week.
Yeah, not good. Not good. It wasn't all his fault. Thank you, Steve. Wasn't all his all right. fault. One, I just don't think there are certain actors who are great, and I think Russell Crowe is a great actor, but who are not cut out for Saturday Night Live. I mean, De Niro's hosted three times, and he's terrible every time he hosts. But Robert De Niro is one of the best actors, you know, ever. You know, just last week I screened Raging Bull for my film club, and just proof that the guy is one of the greatest actors that ever lived. But some people are just uncomfortable in that environment in Saturday Night Live, and Russell Crowe clearly. Esmeralda, did you watch any of the Saturday Night Live?
I did not.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't necessarily his fault because a lot of the writing was terrible. But, like, they tried to make him do, like, wacky characters. And Russell Crowe, when you think wacky, you don't think Russell Crowe.
Although I was kind of hoping, because I heard about that he was going to do it, that he would, you know, throw himself all in.
Well, he did, but he's just not.
Did he? But he just can't do wacky.
His monologue was great. His monologue was really good. He came out and acknowledged the fact that, like, he doesn't have a reputation of being a funny guy. But then they showed clips from like Gladiator, And then they cut back and he's laughing. Like, wasn't that hilarious? And then they showed a clip from A Beautiful Mind. And at one point, he you know, when he's looking at the – you've seen A Beautiful Mind, Esmeralda?
I have.
You know, he's looking at the wall and all the numbers pop up, and that's what he sees in his head. Well, one of the numbers was 80,085 was the number that popped up, and it all came up digitally. And, of course, it spells out boobs. So he was like, yeah, that was funny.
What movie was he in with Denzel Washington where he's like a robot?
Virtuosity.
That's another one.
Oh, terrible.
I was obsessed with that
movie.
Were
you really? Have you seen it since?
No, but I can. I like think back and go, I don't think that was.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, you would have to Nighthawk that one.
I was really into Russell Crowe at that point.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. I mean, Russell Crowe's awesome, but no, you would definitely experience Nighthawking. If you went back and watched Virtuosity, trust me on that.
Like, I can just, like, I remember a lot of it because I saw it so many times.
It's terrible.
And it's kind of like, ooh.
Yeah. No. If you don't want to, you know, if you don't, and another thing about this topic is that some of these movies I suggest don't go back and watch it because if you have such a great memory associated with it, you know, like, maybe you should avoid it. Like, my friend Mike View, who loves Nighthawks, has not gone back and watched it since I started, you know, talking about it. This is years ago. And I'm like, well, you got to go back and watch Nighthawks again. He's like, no, I'm not going to do that because I remember loving it. I'm not going to do it. Because he's terrified that it is indeed a piece of crap and he doesn't want to ruin his memory of seeing it. So here's Roger on WGN. Hey, Roger.
Hey, you forgot to mention one other redeeming factor about Nighthawks.
Which is?
Stallone and Drag.
Stallone and Drag. Yes, Stallone and Drag, everybody. And evidently, that's another thing about the movie. Like, who the hell is going to mistake Stallone for a woman?
Crazy lunatic on the run.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, especially smelling, he would at least smell.
Of course,
you know.
Well, right. the guy's got his shoulders are as wide as a Buick. You know, and at one point he's supposed to be Lindsay Wagner.
Right.
At the end of the movie, when he fools Rutger Hauer, he's doing the dishes. And he's supposed to because he's got a wig on. Rutger Hauer is supposed to think that that's Lindsay Wagner. Now, I know Lindsay Wagner is the bionic woman, but that's pushing it.
Yeah, too broad. I blame my father. I'll never forgive him for letting me see that movie as a kid.
Yeah, Nighthawks. Mm-hmm.
So, speaking as a kid, back in the good old days when Oak Brook had a movie theater,
yeah,
I saw Bart and Fink. 17 years old.
Okay.
And I went because it won 3 awards at the Cannes Film Festival.
Right.
But I didn't put 2 and 2 together that Polanski was the head of the jury, and it was basically Polanski doing Looney Tunes cartoons in that movie. That's what the style was.
Well, yeah. So did you like it when you first saw it and you went back and you didn't like it? Is that?
Pretty much.
Oh, okay. So you liked it when you were 17, then you went back and watched it again and you didn't like it.
I hated it.
Yeah. It's my favorite Coen Brothers movie, like by a mile.
Oh, man.
By a
no
mile.
Way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By a mile, it's my favorite Coen Brothers movie, Barton Fink. I love that movie.
It's one thing to have style over substance, but when you put scene after scene where it's just mental deterioration of the main character,
yeah,
pretty much you're going to have to give an ending at least.
Well, I think there's a lot of substance to that movie. I think it's the most deceptively deep movie that the Coen brothers have ever made.
What about Llewyn Davis?
I love Llewyn Davis. I think it's great, but I think I still think Barton Fink is the best thing they've ever done. I love it. I love it. But okay, Roger, thanks, man.
Yep.
Okay, I can't imagine anybody liking Barton Fink and then not liking it. Because Barton Fink is one of those movies where it's like, I don't know, it always seems to me like it's a pretty clear deal. You know, like, Dan, have you seen Barton Fink?
I have not.
Okay, Esmeralda, have you seen it?
No.
Now, trust me, your opinion of Barton Fink will remain the same the first time you see it. Trust me, it's not one of those movies you go, oh, I like it, and then going back and having a complete 180. That's not going to happen. You're either going to really like Barton Fink and get into it, or you're going to hate it. I don't know if anybody I know who has changed their mind about Barton Fink, whether they love it or they hate it. How about Kelly on IGN.com says, Leonard Part 6. Oh, my God. Leonard Part 6. Even Bill Cosby said, don't see this movie. It's terrible. Because he's in it. And that's a legendarily bad movie. Joey said, Hook. I guess if you're a kid and you see Hook, you know? Robin Williams and Dustin Hoffman plays Captain Hook, and Julia Roberts played Tinkerbell. Spielberg directed it. I hated it when I saw it. But I can, I guess if you're a kid and you see Hook and then come back as an adult and watch it and go, oh, yeah, this is terrible. You ever see Hook, Esmeralda?
I saw it, but I did not. It didn't grab me.
No?
Like some people did.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who liked it when they were younger.
Yeah, I know people freak out over Rufio.
I don't know. What is that?
He's one of the little pirate kids.
Oh, okay. I just saw it the one time. Here's what I took away from Hook, other than I hated it, and I thought it was a horrible movie. My question was, when I was watching, because there's a scene in the movie where Robin Williams is running around and he's shirtless and he has to go down like this slide. And he's shirtless and he is completely free of hair. So, like, I was thinking to myself, who shaved Robin Williams? Who on the set had the unfortunate job of waxing and shaving Robin Williams?
Do you think it was the same person who did it for that other movie?
Which movie?
The one with his dead son.
Oh, that's World's Greatest Dad.
Right, remember he jumps into the pool.
He jumps in the pool at the end. He's hairless in that. I don't know where that's coming from, but if you watch the Hook and Fisher King came out the same year. Now he's shirtless in both of them. They came out 2 months apart. Fisher King came out in October of 91. Hook came out December of 91. And if you watch them, they're shirtless. He's shirtless in both those movies. He's completely naked in Fisher King. And he's like a grizzly bear. In Fisher King, he's like a grizzly bear. And then, like in Hook, he was like completely smooth. And all I kept thinking of, who drew the short straw here?
Could you imagine? They probably had to do it every day.
Oh, are you kidding? I mean, it's unbelievable.
3 hours later, he just poof.
He was a very hairy dude. And there are a lot of dudes out there who are just very hairy. Like Steve Carell in 40-Year-Old Virgin. Kelly Clarkson! That still holds up, by the way. You want to talk about nighthawking, a couple of Judd Apatow movies. Knocked Up, not nearly as funny as it was the first time I saw it. Doesn't hold up. Of all of Apatow's movies, the only one that really, really holds up is 40-Year-Old Virgin. So, all right, we're talking about movies that you thought were good, but then they turned out not to be. 312-981-7200. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Here till 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich. And the opening bell coming up at 5, and then the great Steve Cochran at 6. My dad will be calling in just a little bit to tell a joke, because he does it every Monday morning, and it's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. We are talking about movies that you once liked, maybe when you were younger, and you've gone back and watched them, and they're terrible. I call that nighthawking a movie, because I was a big fan of the movie Nighthawks when I was like 16, and now I realize it's terrible. The reason we brought this up is because our good friend Mark Caro is going to be hosting a film series at the Music Box, and it's going to be called Is It Still Funny? And so on consecutive Tuesdays, he's going to host screenings of National Lampoon's Animal House, Blazing Saddles, Duck Soup, and There's Something About Mary. All three of the films were enormously popular. The fourth, Duck Soup, was a box office disappointment for the Marx Brothers. But all four comedies have not been made possible without the filmmaker's eagerness to transgress and defend. Take Blazing Saddles. He says, I saw a few years ago when it came out. I was young enough to go to an R-rated movie, and I thought it was a really big deal. And now there's farting all over Nickelodeon. And that was the first movie to ever have, like, that fart joke in Blazing Saddles was the first time an audible fart was heard in movies. Not only was it just one, there's like 20 of them in that scene, in the famous campfire fart scene in Blazing Saddles. So it was a real groundbreaking moment. Now I'm looking at this list, and of the movies that he's got, are they still funny? National Lampoon's Animal House, yes. National Lampoon's Animal House is definitely still funny. As funny now as it was then. Blazing Saddles, absolutely. Absolutely, it's still funny. Duck Soup, please. Of course it's still funny. There's Something About Mary? Nope. That's the one right there. Dan, you know the story about There's Something About Mary and the connection to Roy Leonard, right?
Yes, I do.
Esmeralda?
No.
The reason why Roy retired is because of Something About Mary.
man.
We were sitting in the screening room afterwards, and everybody in the room was laughing. I actually thought it was very funny. I've gone back and watched it since. Few laughs. It's not nearly, not even remotely, not even as close as funny as, you know, I once thought it was. But, you know, we were all laughing, and Roy is just like, I don't think I can do this anymore. Like after there's something about Mary, and Roy and I would have like private discussions about it. He goes, yeah, I just can't. After there's something about Mary, because he was, and this is a true story. Roy said, you know, I was thinking about retiring. I was really, really thinking about it. I was going back and forth on whether I was going to do it this year or whenever I was going to do it. And I really was thinking about retiring. And then he said, then I saw there's something about Mary. And I said, yeah, I think it's time to retire. And it was, I believe it certainly had to be the hair gel scene. I mean, my guess is that was the scene where he went, yeah, I'm done. Yeah.
I'm amazed that broke him.
Oh, no. I mean, after all the years he did it, you know, all the years he was on the radio and all the years that he saw so many terrible movies, you know, he brought me in 1985 to take some of that crap away from him. So that I could see terrible movies instead of him. He was getting tired of it then. He was getting tired of it in 1985. That movie came out in 1998. So that's the movie. If you'd like to wonder why Roy Leonard retired when he did, it's because of There's Something About Mary. So keep that in mind the next time you think about There's Something About Mary. It's the movie that made Roy Leonard retire. All right, we got texts coming in. 224, I love Nighthawks. Really? Okay. I liked Blazing Saddles, but now not so much. Oh, man, I'm completely the opposite. Well, no, I always like Blazing Saddles. 717 area code says the Super Mario Brothers. Yeah, man. See, these are the kind of movies I'm talking about. This is exactly what we're talking about. Like when you're a kid, you see Super Mario Brothers, you go, oh, it was cool. And then like 20 years later, you're like, what was that? 815 area code says, I just watched Dune a couple of nights ago. Wow, was it terrible. I liked it as a kid. I'm actually a really big fan of Dune. I like Dune a lot. 815 area code, The Gauntlet with Clint Eastwood. That's one I stayed away from. Because when I was a kid, I thought it was the best movie ever made. I thought The Gauntlet was fantastic. And I've gone back and I've seen it, and I know it's not nearly as good as I thought it was when I was a kid. And I know that if I watch it again, I'll be able to pick out all the horribleness of it. 773 area code, Nick, hands down, Food of the Gods. Thought it was awesome when I was a kid. Saw it recently. Holy cow, what a piece of crap. Yeah, Food of the Gods is fantastic. If you don't know, it's a terrible movie. An absolutely awful movie. But Food of the Gods, another one of those fantastic 70s horror movies where there are giant animals killing people. Like, and Food of the Gods is about a bunch of animals, like, I can't remember exactly. There's a chemical that this factory or this corporation has leaked into the water supply, and the animals, like, drink the water. And then it's, like, giant rats the size of, like, you know, SUVs climbing on houses and stuff. And Marjo Gortner is in it. And there's also a scene where people get attacked by two giant chickens that are, like, 8 feet tall.
It's about time.
It's
chickens are getting there.
That's right. Food of the Gods, based on H.G. Wells' story. That was one of those classic. That came out like in the 70s during the Kingdom of the Spiders with William Shatner. And then, of course, the classic Night of the Lepus.
That one's amazing, though.
Oh, yeah. No, it's terrible, but it's fantastic. Night of the Lepus, for those of you who don't know, is about a town being attacked by giant rabbits.
You mean cuddled.
Cuddled to death.
That's the best way to go.
It's so ridiculous. I mean, that movie is unbelievable. Night of the Lepus. I remember I saw that movie with my dad. My dad and I were like, what the hell is going on? It's giant rabbits running around, and all in slow motion. Like, they had really terrible, like, special effects, and the rabbits were running around, and it was fake, you know. Like, they had miniature cars and miniature trees and stuff, and here's regular-sized rabbits just running around in slow motion knocking stuff over.
I mean, it was almost like just a big projector screen in the back.
Oh, that's what they did with Food of the Gods, too.
They're like, oh, gosh.
No, with Food of the Gods, same thing. Giant rats climbing on trees and stuff, and on houses. Food of the Gods. Legendary. Okay, we got a break. We got the news coming up, and then we got more movies that you changed your mind about. And check out Mark Caro's film series at the Music Box. Is it still funny? We have a link on our Facebook page to check that out. All right, we'll take a break here, and the news is up next. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich and the opening bell at 5, and then my buddy the great Steve Cochran at 6. Yeah. All right. So we've been talking about movies that you used to like when you were younger or when you were a kid that you've gone back and watched and you realize that they're terrible. And, of course, my term for that is nighthawking, because when I was 16, the Sylvester Stallone action movie Nighthawks was in the theater. I saw it like 80 times. I thought it was the greatest movie ever made. 20 years I watch it later, and it's terrible. So that's what we're talking about. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Paul on WGN. Hi, Paul.
Yeah. How about the movie Basket Case?
Basket Case.
Do you remember that one?
Oh, of course. Yeah, there were three of them. There were three Basket Case movies.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that when I was, I had to have been like 12. It was about that little blob-looking thing, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, that was good. And then
the character's name was Belial.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yep, all right.
And then there was one, I think it was like Michael J. Fox's first movie where they were on some scavenger hunt, driving around L.A. trying to find all these different things.
Midnight Madness.
Midnight Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, Midnight Madness. Those are good ones. All right, Paul, thanks, man.
All right, thanks.
Take care. You ever see Basket Case, Esmeralda?
No.
With the sort of like crazy deformed little creature dude that lives in a basket and kills people.
No, but I want to see it now.
The great Frank Henenlotter directed that movie. He's also the director of Frankenhooker.
If you've ever
wanted to see Frankenhooker.
I'm curious as to what that would look like.
Well, it's a dead hooker who comes back to life as like a Frankenstein monster.
Right.
Made up of different parts of bodies of hookers.
Of course. Yep.
Frankenhooker.
For a second when you said the Basket Case, I thought basketball.
Which is a funny movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
It looks terrible.
It's got such a terrible reputation. I think basketball is funny. I think it's a funny movie.
I don't even want to look at it.
It's funny. It really is.
I'm worried it's going to be not good.
No, I thought it was good, but it has a terrible reputation.
Right.
It does. All right, how about this? Victor says, Night of the Comet, embarrassed to say I ever saw it now. Oh, I like Night of the Comet. It's an enjoyable motion picture experience. 217 area code says, Battle Beyond the Stars. Yeah, man, Battle Beyond the Stars with John Saxon.
This is a lot of stuff in space.
Yeah. Well, you know, you see a lot of those when you're a kid. You like space movies.
Right.
And, like, at some point, you know, everything that takes place in, like, after Star Wars, everything that took place in space is like, ooh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And Battle Beyond the Stars was a blatant Star Wars ripoff. And John Saxon's in it. You know John Saxon, Esmeralda.
Do I?
Yes. He played Ryan O'Neill's editorial boss in Fever Pitch.
Oh, he's that guy. Okay.
That's John Saxon.
He knows how to pick his roles.
Yes, he does. Alfredo says, when I was 9, I saw the seven Faces of Dr. Lau. Came out, I was in awe. Last year I watched it again. Not so awesome except for the Barbara Eden dance scene. Well, you can't go wrong with the Barbara Eden dance scene.
Right. Well, she's Barbara. She's the genie.
Absolutely. 815 area code says, a kid, I used to love the movie The Beastmaster. Saw it lately and it's just ridiculous. Yes, it is ridiculous. Oh, look at this. Here is Chris on WGN. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
The texture just stole it for me. Beastmaster was one I grew up loving. And I look back, I'm like, but it has one redeeming feature of Tanya Roberts.
Tanya Roberts, so, yeah. Yeah.
But the other one I grew up with was Krull.
Krull, man. Krull was just, you know, Chris, Krull, they just screened in 70 millimeter at the Music Box Festival.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. And they had a huge crowd. They had a really big crowd for the 70 millimeter screening of Krull.
Yeah, it was the beginning for a lot of people. James Horner did the music. Yep. Liam Neeson was in it. Yep. Robbie Coltrane. And then some people you've never seen again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, those are great ones. All right, Chris, thanks.
You bet.
Take care. Beastmaster, I like Beastmaster. One, Tanya Roberts is in it.
Does he have a big tiger?
Yeah, he's got all kinds of, he talks to animals and stuff. He communicates with animals. Rip Torn is the bad guy in it. I know, it's very, very strange that Rip Torn's like the bad guy, and he's got the worst makeup, because he's got a fake nose in it, and it's the worst fake nose makeup I've ever seen. Like, it's just somebody took a blob of clay and threw it on his nose. But I can't speak very poorly of the movie, because Don Coscarelli directed it and wrote it, and he did Phantasm. So, you know, I got to be nice.
Yeah, but, you know.
Well, I mean, you know.
People can have their low.
Yeah, but he also did Bubba Hotep, which is great, and John Dies at the End, which is great, and of course Phantasm, which is legendary. How about this one? 630 area code. The movie Rad was awesome when I was a kid. Now not so much.
What was that even about?
I believe motocross? Like bike races?
Oh boy.
Think dirt bike races? It was rad to be on a bike. Dan, can you? I think that's what it was. If I remember correctly, it was like motocross, like dirt bike racing was what it was about.
Sure. They were rebels.
Like an 80s movie, I'm sure.
Right.
The story of one young man, Crew Jones, who has the intensity and desire to win a BMX race called Hell Track.
Hell Track? That's fantastic.
The drama.
Yeah, man. Patrick says The Fog. Oh, come on now. John Carpenter.
Wait. I'm assuming there's an original.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've only seen the one they
You only saw the remake with Superman?
Or no, wait. Is that The Mist? Or what was that one?
The Mist is with Todd from Boogie Nights. That's not going to help you at all. It's with Thomas Jane.
Yes.
Okay. That's The Mist.
Oh, okay.
That's a great movie.
So there was another one called The Fog?
Oh, yeah. The Fog, made in 1979 by John Carpenter. It was a follow-up to Halloween.
I see.
And then it was remade with, what's that kid's name from Superman? The small town, small village. What the hell's his name? Tom Welling. Tom Welling was in it in the remake.
Oh, okay.
Terrible.
I haven't seen that.
Terrible. But the original John Carpenter, terrific. But Patrick doesn't think so. It says, I was terrified as a kid. Then I showed it to my kids and none of us were impressed. It's now a joke with them. Anytime I say a movie is scary and they go, oh, yeah, like The Fog.
Although I will say that for like 70s movies that I've seen that are horror and scary, yeah. they're kind of scary.
The Fog is a great movie. The reason why it doesn't have such a great reputation is because it's a completely, completely different movie than Halloween. And everybody was anticipating the same kind of movie. Because when you know, it's very hard to, you know, when you make Halloween, when you make a movie like Halloween,
yeah.
it's hard to follow that up. Like expectations. You have to understand, when Halloween came out in 1978, it was unlike anything in the theaters. It was the biggest independent movie ever made up until that point. And, you know, anytime you're going to follow something up with that's a classic. To this day, a classic. So he makes a movie that's completely different. It wasn't nearly as intense. It wasn't the same style. It was more of a really slow, moody ghost story.
Oh, okay.
Whereas Halloween was an intense slasher movie. And it was completely different, and that really disappointed a lot of people. How about Derek? Good Burger.
What?
With Keenan and Kel.
Is there even enough time to have seen it and then, like, revisit?
Well, we revisited it when Abe Vigoda died. We played the clip from Good Burger. Do you remember? Dan, you don't happen to have that, do you?
Not handy.
Man. Okay, not handy. But anyway, you remember the scene from Good Burger?
I don't.
You have to take me to the hospital.
Oh, wait.
I think I broke my ass.
Oh, wait.
That was
no,
Abe Vigoda, yeah. yeah.
You think you'd get me to a hospital? I think I broke my ass. Come on, Otis. Get out of the way.
Isn't that a kid's movie?
I'm sorry. Could you play that one more time, please?
oh, my goodness.
You think you can get me to a hospital? I think I broke my ass.
Come on, Otis. Get out the way.
Poor Otis.
You also have to picture Abe Vigoda in this because he works at the burger place with him. So he's got the paper hat on and the stupid apron. oh, my God.
He's very matter of fact on the fact that he may have broken his butt.
I think I broke my ass. Oh, man. Okay, Tony, Johnny Mnemonic.
Aw, come on.
Loved it the first time, second time, awful. Yeah. Johnny Mnemonic was not very good, but that led to Keanu doing The Matrix. Because
I like that movie.
I think it's okay. I think Johnny Mnemonic is pretty good.
It's, you know what? It's along the lines of Hackers.
Yes.
Where it's that, okay.
Right around the same time, too. They were right around the same time, mid-90s.
Smart Dolphin.
But you know, Johnny Mnemonic was Keanu wanting to do, he really loves science fiction. He loves Philip K. Dick, and he loves those kind of novels and that kind of story. And he wanted to do some challenging, like really cool, cutting edge sci-fi.
I mean, that was cool.
It was.
I think it's
still probably
like, as I think about it now, it's still pretty kind of.
I haven't seen it in a long time. I remember I didn't hate it. Everybody else in the screening room hated it, and I remember thinking it was okay. But the way I look at that movie now is that was Keanu's warm up for The Matrix.
Yeah,
like the movie he ultimately made that was great was The Matrix,
because it had that same kind of like
absolutely.
Slick.
Absolutely.
Sci-fi thing.
Yep. All right. Well, we got a break here, and we'll take a break, and we got weather, we got traffic, and then my dad will tell a joke because it's a jokey time. We'll find out what's going to be happening on the opening bell, and then we'll wrap this up with movies that you don't like now but you did when you were younger on WGN.
Ooh, it's the best part of the week, baby. It's time to hear something funny. Here we go with your music intro. Ah!
It's a jokey time. It's a jokey time. Nick's dad tells a joke.
Hey, what'd I say?
It's a jokey time. It's a jokey time. Nick's dad tells a joke.
Ah, yes. Here we go.
Ah, yeah. It's Monday morning, and it's a jokey time. My dad, Nick, likes to tell jokes, so he tells them here on the show every Monday morning. And let's say hello to my dad. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Nick.
How are you, buddy?
Good. That was a great subject you had.
Oh, yeah? You got any?
Yeah.
Do you remember any movies that you used to like?
Who Slew Auntie Rue?
Oh, my God, Dad. You always talk about Who Slew Auntie Rue. Six people have seen that movie.
The Frogs?
Yeah, that's a terrible movie.
And the one with Ray Milland and Rosie Greer.
The Thing with Two Heads, yeah.
Yes.
Don't leave us hanging. Who Slew Auntie Rue?
All right, Who Slew Auntie Rue is, for some reason, my father vividly remembers this movie, brings it up all the time, and has, like, you know, can't remember, you know, like, other bigger, better movies, but he can vividly remember this movie. Shelley Winters was in it. It was this awful, like, murder mystery thing. And I don't remember Who Slew Auntie Rue. I don't remember. But Dad remembers the whole damn movie. I don't even know what's going on. All right, Dad, well, what do you got for a joke?
Okay, there was a fire at the cheese factory. Debris was everywhere.
Wait a minute now. All right. How's Mom, by the way?
Fine.
Good. Okay. All right. There was debris everywhere.
Debris everywhere.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, Dad. Thanks, buddy.
Have a great day.
Take care. Who slew Auntie Rue?
That was jokey time. It was a jokey time. Nick's dad told a joke.
Seriously, Dan, look that movie up. And for some reason, I can't tell you how many times my dad brings that movie up. I'm serious.
It made quite a mark on his.
It did. I have no idea why he remember. He can't remember like big, like he didn't remember seeing Psycho. Like when I screened Psycho, just a few months ago, he was like, "Yeah, man, that's a really good movie." I'm like, "You saw it already? It's Psycho," and he didn't remember it, but he remembers every scene from Who Slew Auntie Rue
and how awful it is.
No, he likes it. Maybe
so this was an Elvira movie.
Well, it was probably re-released. Under Elvira, under the umbrella of Elvira.
Okay.
Well, why?
The only credited cast member is Cassandra Peterson.
Oh, I guess then she's in it. Wait a minute. They don't have Shelley Winters listed?
They do not have Shelley Winters.
How do they not have Shelley Winters listed?
You'll take that up with the folks at IMDb.
What year? 73, maybe? 74?
This one is listed as 82.
Oh, no. That's a different one. This one's from the 70s. Yeah.
You spell Slew, S-L-E-W, right?
Yeah, I think so. Who Slew Auntie Rue? And that must be a remake. Maybe Cassandra Peterson was in a remake of
she
it?
She was like, this is going to be amazing. Let's do it again.
We need to re-
I was shopping at the Jewels, and this guy came up to me and told me about this movie.
Yeah.
And just... it was phenomenal. It was and he told me a great joke.
Yeah. And it was Who Slew Auntie Rue? I think it was Shelley Winters. Maybe I don't even remember that. I remember seeing it. It was a terrible movie. It came out in the early 70s. It had to have.
Oh, how didn't you, how do you not ask your dad?
Yeah,
he knows all the details.
Here we go. Yes, the 1972 version, demented widow lures unsuspecting children into her mansion in a bizarre Hansel and Gretel twist.
Oh, that's, my goodness. Yeah.
And it's Shelley Winters, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Is there anybody else listed in the...
Mark Lester, Chloe Frank seem to be the kids. Ralph Richardson, Lionel Jeffries, Hugh Griffith.
Holy cow. Actually,
Hugh
that's...
Cornwell, I should say.
Wow. Ralph Richardson was in that? In who's
Mr. Benton.
Wow.
I mean, that sounds like a good story.
Yeah.
Old lady.
Well, maybe my
kids.
Dad's right. I don't know. I just remember I just remember thinking it was a piece of crap.
Should watch the 80s version.
Yeah, watch you know, it's always worth Cassandra Peterson. It's always worth watching her. All right. Purple Rain 219 area code says that's unwatchable now. Absolutely true.
He doesn't want to bathe in the lake. In the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
That ain't Lake Minnetonka. I can't believe that I laughed at Weird Science. I recently saw a commercial with Anthony Michael Hall, and I laughed at that more. Yeah, Weird Science is not good. I thought The Mummy was good in the theater, but the second time around, I realized Brendan Fraser is awful. I like the two Mummy movies. I do. 262 area code, Moonraker and Sleeper Dave. What the hell is Sleeper Dave? Moonraker, I know. It's one of the worst James Bond movies of all time. Spaceballs. Yeah, no, that movie sucks. That's a terrible movie. Spaceballs is terrible. Carrie says, in high school, I loved Police Academy. Not so much now. 630 area code says, Night Shift. From the early 80s with Henry Winkler, Michael Keaton, and Shelley Long. I still think that movie's pretty good. One of the only Ron Howard movies that doesn't completely suck. Sean says, when I was 12, Toxic Avenger was great. 815 area code says that I totally bought into Independence Day when it came out. Now I hate it. Well, you must be thrilled about the
never seen it.
It sucks.
No, I saw it once.
You saw it once.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's all you need to see. Are you okay?
I'm very emotional.
I know. I'm kind of.
You feel bad about Randy Quaid, man?
You all said about Randy Quaid.
He dies. And it's so sad.
It's so
sad.
Randy
Quaid.
Yeah, poor Randy Quaid. All right. Let's find out what's going to be happening on the opening bell with Steve Grzanich. Hello, Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, somebody got paid a lot of money to write that phrase, take me to the hospital. I think I hurt my
Yeah, I think I broke my ass.
I wonder how much they got paid to write that line.
Millions.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it's just the only thing that's great about it is that it's Abe Vigoda delivering it. It wouldn't be nearly as funny if it wasn't Abe Vigoda.
Yeah, yeah. It's, so. Well, I don't know. Sanford, I could see.
Oh, sure.
Fred Sanford would deliver that one nicely, I think.
Yeah.
We have a big show for you coming up. Thank you, Nick. All of that coming up on the opening bell.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Have a great day.
You too. All right. We got a few more here, Esmeralda, that you can get choked up about.
It makes me so sad. These people are so angry about these movies.
Angry about it. I just can't believe that there's a sequel to Independence Day. I mean, I really can't. I mean, I hated that movie. So Independence Day, I hate that movie. It's a terrible movie. And I can't even believe that there's. And when did that thing come out? 20 years ago. It came out 20 years ago. Like people waiting 20 years for a sequel to that piece of garbage?
Well, it was part of that whole Will Smith.
Yeah,
puts out blockbuster movies every
and he's
July.
Not in the sequel
because he knows
who is going to welcome you to planet Earth with a punch. If who's going to do that? Randy Quaid, he's gone. Judd Hirsch is going to have to do it.
Oh no, the president.
Bill Pullman, he's all bearded in this. Like he went, like he's all crazy and
he's grizzled.
He's grizzled and he lives in a cabin or something.
Yeah, see, he can punch the aliens.
He can punch the aliens in the face. With Jeff Goldblum.
No.
Jeff Goldblum's in it?
He doesn't have a bad bone in his body.
Oh, have you seen the fly?
No, but that's because he's a fly.
Oh.
Jeff Goldblum
because,
is a...
Because he's a fly.
Is a gentle creature.
Except when he gets...
Life finds a way.
When he gets into a telepod with a fly, and then he's not good anymore.
Well, no, flies are disgusting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's true. If you should see the movie.
He's got fly brain.
He does. Yes, he does. More than fly brain. If you've seen the movie. Let's see, Billy Jack. Yeah, that was a piece of garbage. They made 20 of them. Each one got longer than the next.
Oh no!
And then finally, The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
Wait, what?
I'll explain to you what it is off the air. It's a basketball movie, oddly enough. The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. And then Tom Hanks in Bachelor Party. Bad. Wrong. Bachelor Party rules. All right, we got a break here. Esmeralda, see you tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay, we'll be right back.